Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pastor Alan Miller chosen for a sermon topic, The Spirit's Coming, based on John chapter 16. Mr. Ron Baker will be at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. And happy Pentecost Sunday to all of you, and a special welcome to any guests and visitors we have joining us here this morning. It is always good to gather together and to receive God's gifts. Today especially, we remember God's gift of the Holy Spirit, as the Lord has poured out the Holy Spirit upon us to make us temples of His Spirit. And we are so thankful that the Lord is always near us, for He is dwelling inside of each and every one of His believers. Well, in praise to God, let us sing our first hymn together, number 905. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. but I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Beloved in the Lord, upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you send forth your spirit, they are created. And you renew the face of the ground. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. Let us pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, we are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves, and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves, and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues, as a fire, appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered by the prophet Joel. 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and he will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. hardest things to believe in the Bible? When I think of that question, what fascinates me is how wrongly the world perceives what those things are. For example, the world thinks it's hard to believe that the sun can stand still as it did in the days of Joshua. Now, that's a ridiculous thing to have trouble with, because can't he who made the sun cause it to stand still? It's not very hard to believe. Or again, the world thinks it's hard to believe that the whole world was at one time flooded with water. But again, that shouldn't be too difficult to believe either. There is enough water in the world that if the world was perfectly smooth like a bowling ball, there'd be enough water to cover the world over a mile and a half deep. And for Christians, I don't think that should be all that hard to believe. Today, sure, we have tall mountains and deep trenches in the ocean. But it's not a big leap to believe that before God judged the world in Noah's day, that the world looked different. Before the Lord opened the foundations of the deep as a form of cosmic judgment, it isn't hard to believe that the world's landscape would have looked drastically different. Perhaps there's not enough water today to flood the tallest mountains, but that's because the world has since then gone through this massive, catastrophic change. If God Almighty Himself truly judged and cursed it, as the Bible says, then what is so hard to believe about that? Cursed is the ground, God said to Adam and Eve. And as Paul says in Romans, that all of creation now groans, as in the pains of childbirth, longing to put off its corruption. He who made the earth and who laid its foundations, and who made it as a masterpiece of his hands, surely he is fully capable of later marring its beauty because of sin. Well, those are the things that the world finds hard to believe in the Bible. But let's look briefly at what many Christians sometimes find it hard to believe. It's hard to believe that all things work together for the good of those who love God. It's hard to believe that the scriptures are more true than what our own eyes tell us. For while our eyes and senses can be deceived, God's word is without error. Sometimes Christians have a horrible time believing that God means it when he says, "Your sins are forgiven you." Or they have trouble believing that Jesus has entrusted the church with pastors, giving them the authority to pronounce the forgiveness of sins in his name. They have trouble believing that which Jesus said concerning forgiveness, that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And again, dear friends, many Christians find it hard to believe that "is" means "is" in reference to the Lord's Supper. "This is my body," Jesus said, "given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Well, for this morning, I want to look at another thing, Jesus' statement that he made in our gospel reading this morning. Because here we come across yet another thing that is perhaps hard to believe. In fact, if it wasn't for the fact that Jesus said it first himself, you would probably think it is blasphemy to say it. That it is for our advantage that Jesus has gone away. Now that's hard to believe, isn't it? To think what joys the disciples would have experienced due to that physical presence of Jesus. Just imagine having in your midst the great physician as Jesus was, one whom you could see and touch with your hands. To have him in your presence who had a balm, a healing for every wound. He was love, grace, and peace, all incarnate in one perfect being. He was God in the flesh. And to him, every need, every cause of sorrow, any cause for groaning in agony, it was all met in full in Jesus. But somehow Jesus says, it is good that he should leave his disciples. And yet, dear friends, I don't think that it should be too hard to truly understand the advantage of Jesus' departure. For he's not just talking about his death here, but he's referring now even to his ascension. When he was about to ascend to his throne on high and grasp the scepters of the universe. It is good that Jesus is not here, but rather that he has taken his rightful place on high to sit at the right hand of the Father. That is why it's good. If Jesus didn't ascend to heaven, the chances are, dear friends, that he wouldn't be here with us. Our church's name, it wouldn't be Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I don't know enough Hebrew to make up names, but if Jesus was still on earth, our church would have to change its name to something like Azazel, or God has abandoned us. If Jesus was still on earth, he wouldn't be here with us. You know, he'd be 2,000 years old and probably living in Florida. We'd have no easy access to him. And due to the distance, but also due to the great number, the multitudes of people who would be around him, we couldn't be near him. And that's why it's good, dear friends, that Jesus has ascended on high, choosing now to rule all things from his heavenly throne. He's enthroned triumphant in the skies, and he has put all his enemies under his foot. His enemies, they are his footstools today. That is not a future promise. It's not a future reality, but today he rules and reigns over all things. I ask you, do you think you know anyone who holds a high place, who holds a lot of power? Does anyone here know perhaps a senator or a governor? Do you know people with power and influence in the world? Well, I say to you, dear friends, it doesn't even matter if you know the president himself, for all such power is all pittance. It all comes to nothing compared to the power of our glorious King. Every rival power in the world, it is but a shadow to him who rules all things. A shadow with no substance, and a power that is utterly void. But the power of Jesus, it does greater good for us now in heaven than it ever would have done if it were limited to one single isolated place on earth. Now, rather, I love that blessed promise where Jesus says, right before where our scripture reading picks up this morning, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. And in verse 7, then he says, but I will send you the Spirit. I'm not leaving you, for in my ascension I will be ever nearer even I'll be mysteriously that much closer to you, for I will send to live in you the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter. And that is what we celebrate today, dear friends. This Pentecost morning, we rejoice and remember the outpouring of God's Spirit, that it fills the very hearts and minds of His people. It is good for Him to go on high, for now Jesus has sent the Spirit to dwell within us. That very same Spirit that descended on Jesus in His baptism, that is the same Spirit today that now dwells in the hearts of believers. That same Spirit that dwelt in Jesus, that same Spirit that anointed Him and set Him apart for the God, for the Father's good purpose, it is that same Spirit that now dwells within each one of us. There's not two Holy Spirits, one that fell on Christ and one that has since come to us, but it is the same Spirit that now dwells within us richly. And this Spirit fills us up with God Himself. And in that way, we see that we are united perfectly and completely with the Lord Himself. The Spirit of Christ has made us to be His temple. How much intimate can you get than that? How much more comfort can one seek after than the comfort that comes from knowing that Christ's Spirit is within us? For here we are now, connected to Jesus with bonds that will never break. We are one with Christ, the sovereign ruler of the universe. We are one with Him who makes and rules all things in power. And in being one with Him, we know that He is using this power only for our good. I wonder if that's hard to believe, that God's measureless power, He is working it for you, for your good. Do we believe that? Because in practice, it seems like we really don't. In practice, it seems like we worry about all sorts of powers in the world. Do we worry, for example, about all the economic power that the ultra-rich have? Do we worry about the intellectual power that the universities have? Can we rest in knowing that God's power is greater than all of these? Do we have worries about the various powers in the world, the powers of foreign nations, the power of Congress to take away Social Security checks, the power of those who seek lawlessness in the streets? Well, dear friends, I have great news, and you already know it, that Jesus is stronger. That Jesus doesn't let anything happen without His divine purpose allowing it to happen. Because nothing happens apart from His wise and loving and powerful counsel. That's hard to believe, isn't it? And yet that's why the Bible has to say it like 365 times, don't fear. That's why Jesus spoke about it in the Sermon on the Mount when He said, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. It's why He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We have these promises made, and we can be more sure that they will come to pass than that the sun will rise tomorrow morning. For last of all, dear friends, we have the seal and guarantee of the promises stamped into the very souls of our being. I love how Paul says in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit is a seal. God has not just put a seal on his promises, that the promises will remain true, but he has put his seal upon you. Your soul has been stamped with the assurance that God's promises will be kept for you. The Holy Spirit is the proof that these promises are now yours. That the Holy Spirit within you is a seal and promise that he will bring to pass that which he has spoken. This is the assurance that not one promise will ever fail the child of God. For again, he has placed his Spirit in you as a pledge and as a token that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that he would not abandon you, not in the storm, not in the fire. This Lord who has conquered death and the grave, who has ascended on high, he, dear friends, he is near for you. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your name this morning for your loving kindness. We praise you and that you have put all power and authority into the hands of your Son, who is now our brother in the flesh. We praise you knowing that all power in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ and that he is working all things together for our good. Give us the confidence of this fact. Lead us to not fear the powers of this world, but to trust that we are so united with Christ that he can only will that which is good for us who love him. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, lead us to believe all the words that you have spoken, and help us to understand that your word is truth, that your word literally cannot fail. We ask that you would teach us this, give us humility to trust you, even more than we would trust our own wisdom, our own knowledge and senses. What you have spoken, we ask you would bring us to cling to it in faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of grace, we thank you for your blessings poured out upon us. This morning, we especially thank you for all the seniors who graduated this past week. We ask that you would continue to go with them to their next endeavors. Give them those eyes of faith that can see that you go with them. And give them hearts and minds to know you, to continue in a love for learning, and continue to grow them into maturity, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, so that they can come to love you more and to love righteousness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we lift before you those on our hearts and minds this morning. We lift before you in thanksgiving again the Carter family with the birth of Lillian. And we ask that you would be with the parents to give them health, strength, and healing. We also ask that you'd be with the whole Tyler clan to give them joy and comfort. And be with Lillian as she continues to grow up healthy and strong. And for all those who we name before you, we ask that you would look down with your mercy. For those suffering with the pains of life, bodily and spiritually, Lord, we ask that you would bring your peace that surpasses understanding. Bring this peace to rest on their hearts. And give to all your saints a reason to rejoice in your sovereign plans. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his favor upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated for our departing hymn.